Good morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. We pray now, Father, your blessing upon each and every service, everything that goes forth out of this house in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you be in control. Enemy of ours, I give you notice you have no power here, no authority. In the name of Jesus, I bind and rebuke you. You must leave in Jesus' name. The chains will be broken. The strongholds will be brought down because the truth will go forth from this temple today in Jesus' name. Father, bless those that are coming. Give them safe journey. Give us all safe journeys. We go home in the name of Jesus, we pray. He is the name above all names. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Lord, you reign, you reign, you reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's so good on all. In the power of God, He will make it all right. Hallelujah. 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 Hila kandana na ma shandana I korono ma shandana I. Hizo korono ma shandana I korono. Hila la 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 kandana. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Strengthen us today, Lord Jesus. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Oh, His Spirit is so sweet. If there's anything you need today, the water is troubled. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. He's so good. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. We are but humble servants. I want you to turn to the book of Revelations for me. Praise the Lord. I don't claim to be some theological expert. I'm simply going to teach you what I know, what God gave me. The whole book of Revelations is the revealing of Jesus Christ. And He always starts with the church. He starts with His people. How can He judge anyone else save He starts at home? I want to show you why you should take everything in your life and compare it to God in His Word, to Jesus. John is on the Isle of Patmos. They've boiled him at all. They can't seem to kill him, so they just throw him on this island. And they leave him there to die. And guess who shows up? Our God and Jesus. And actually, the Holy Spirit's there as well if you read it. But I want you to read something. If you go down to the first chapter, verses 17. This is not the main focus. We're going to talk about the seven churches, but I want you to know how you can make God, Jesus, Lord in your life and why you should, actually. Everything in my life, I take it to the one I know who has more understanding than I do. If it's a spiritual concern, I usually go to my father or my pastor and ask, I don't quite have a grasp on this. Can you give me your understanding? Because my father has been a minister for many years. And pastor has a wonderful revelation as well as being pastor for many years. So anything, any decision, anything that we should have in our lives, we should take it to someone who has more knowledge than we do. And this is why you take it to Jesus and his word. It says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, if you've ever been in the true presence of God, you will find yourself on your knees, usually crying, if not, because there is a purity in the spirit, in the presence of God, that sees right through you. And it's not an accusation purity. It's not a one of pride or I'm better than you. It's one of love. It's a love that you can't even comprehend. And I have a man who loves me with all his life. And so I'm blessed to know that kind of love here on earth. But this is the kind of love that you just marvel at. Because he sees everything good and bad about you, but yet he still loves you. And that is wonderful to know that I have a God. I have a Lord and Savior who loves me so much. But it says, he laid his right hand upon me. In the scripture, the right hand is the strong right hand. It's the hand that feeds you, protects you, keeps you, provides for you, and loves you. It's a hand of strength when they talk about the right hand. And so even in his state of deadness, Jesus comes and puts his right hand on him. And he says unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. And I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Those are places that you and I have treaded upon in the natural, maybe just a little bit, the being dead part. In our death, meaning death from him, spiritual death, he lived and walked for us and was rose again. He bore everything on the cross, but he rose again so that we too may live forevermore. Amen. And I and have the keys of hell and of death. If you're going to have a decision in your life, if you've got something going on in your life and you can't seem to get a hold of it, why would you take it to somebody that doesn't have that kind of authority? He has the power over hell and death. He bore your sins at the cross. And because of love, he did it all. Even to the cruelty of the death of the cross. So when I have a situation in my life and when I see things in my life that aren't quite right according to the Word of God, I don't go to my husband and ask him to help me. If it's not a natural thing that he can help me with, if it's a spiritual thing, then I'm telling you what, boy, the Holy Spirit, he sure has been pounding it out with me this week. He showed me some of my ugliness, some things in my heart that needed to just be taken care of. And I'm telling you what, it is so difficult to try to walk upright with the right attitude when the Holy Spirit is showing you those ugly things in your life. And you're like, my God, how can I fix this? This is something that's been in my life for years. But God says, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, he has to be Lord and Savior over even that issue. Even if it's a physical thing. This is how you make Jesus Lord over your life. You allow the Holy Spirit to show you those things. You seek repentance for those things if so required. And then you let the Word and the Holy Spirit lead and guide you into the correct way to be with those things. And ask God to help you with those areas of your life. So I want to talk about, turn with me to the second chapter of Revelations. John is writing down what Jesus has revealed to him. The first place he starts is with the church. And we know the church is a building, but the church is the people. We are the church of God. His Spirit dwells in us. He dwells in this temple. When we come together and dwell together, the Holy Spirit walks in with us as well. And there are seven churches that he talks about, and if I have the time, I will get to all of them. If not, maybe next week, if the Holy Spirit allows. And let's just read. I want you to look at your church, yourself, and compare yourselves to each of these churches and what God has to say about each and every one of them. And if there's anything that you can identify with in these churches that God says is not well with him, then it's an area that we need to fix in our lives. Upon the angel of the church of Ephesus write, Ephesus is considered the church that has lost its love. It is a loveless church. He says, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hath borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. Those are all wonderful things. Those are things that we do every day. We work in the natural. We work in the physical. We labor for Christ. We labor to provide for ourselves and our home. We should have patience. That's one of the fruits of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we don't bear evil. We cannot bear evil. That means when they are having conversations in the break rooms, in your living room, you should not participate in any kind of evil. And you're evil. I have an issue with music. Secular music is like a possession to me. It can possess me. And before I know it, my thoughts and my body behaves in ways that's not becoming to a child of God. I cannot listen to secular music. I can't even watch certain movies. I caught myself in a movie, I don't know how long ago, when I come up out of that movie walking a certain way and thinking a certain way, and I was like, whoa, the Holy Spirit checked me as I was walking out of the movie theater. He said, really, is that the kind of thoughts and actions and the behaviors for a child of God? I had to check myself. He checked me first, but I had the choice to listen or obey. I can't even go to certain and watch certain things before my eyes that cause me to want to turn around and go back to the life that I had before. I've come so far. Thou cannot bear them which are evil. There are people in my lives that were of old lifestyles. They had to go because I love them. I'll pray for them, but I will not allow myself to be tied back down and dragged back into that lifestyle. Some people you have to love from afar. Next thing is, they had people that claimed to be apostles, but they found that they were liars. This is why you should know the word for yourself. This is why it is important for you to know that. Because someone gets up here or anywhere else that you're listening and starts teaching something that does not line up with the word of God, you are listening to a false prophet. You need to shut that down. They're going to lead you down a path away from God eventually. And let me tell you, they are so slight, it will just be a slight change of word that you may not understand, or it may not, you know, register right away, but once you start thinking about it, the Holy Spirit's going to show you. And you cannot allow them to be operating in your life. That's why it's so important for this church and who steps in this platform, who sings on that. We have rules. You have to go through certain things. You have a pastor who is concerned about the health of your spiritual soul. He cannot afford to allow such to operate in this church. There have many that have come and gone for those reasons. Just know that he is always, 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 not only is he accountable for himself, but he is accountable for your soul. And when I wake up in the middle of the night and God has shown me something, don't you think I ain't texting him at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and say, we got a problem. God has showed me this. Sometimes he already knows, and sometimes he's like, we're on it. I'm on it. I will take care of that situation now. Do not think that you are pulled the wool over the eyes long. God will reveal it. And you should be thankful, because that is something that he is taking care of. So those were the good things. They had labored, and in the name of Jesus, they had done things. They had not fainted, which means it was a task that was difficult. It was hard to bear, but they had stood the time and stood the test. But the verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Don't think that just because you're in the family, you get a sly hand. You do not. Baby, it's first going to come to you. They had lost their love for Christ. They have lost the love and zeal for God. They were going through the motions because they have to. Have you ever been in a relationship where the love is lost? Where you lost that first love? You kind of end up going your separate ways. I always get tickled at women that say, oh, we're struggling in our relationship and our marriage. We're going to have children and that's all going to fix it. I tell them, no, it's not. It's going to make it worse. Because now your focus is not on the two of you as much as it should be on that child. Do not think a child is going to fix your relationship. It will not. It will not. But that's the way it is spiritually. You get in the church, you start working. You work for God. You're doing it all for God. You got the right motives. You know, the right ideal anyways. But somehow you've lost your love for God. He's taken a second seat behind you. You have left your first love. The most important thing God wants from us is a personal, intimate relationship. That's why Jesus came and died for you. His only begotten Son suffered terribly, endured trial and tribulation, temptation. And even in the garden, he said, God, Father, is there another way? Let it be, but not my will, but yours. That's how hard it was. He was sweating blood physically from his body. Have you ever felt that kind of pressure? I have. Luckily, I've not sweated blood. I don't want to ever feel that kind, but whatever God's will is. Even Jesus had to endure hardship for us. And the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Even in our sin, did Jesus go to the cross and die while we were yet sinners, it says. They had lost their relationship with God. They got busy doing and doing and doing and doing and doing. And they weren't spending their time with their first love. Do you notice when Paul fell down dead, what was the first thing Jesus did? He reached down with his right hand and he touched him. They so want an intimate, personal relationship with you. Even when we were made out of the dust, God bent over and he breathed his breath into that body. It is your breath that you breathe now. God gave it to humanity. Personal, intimate relationship. He didn't just speak you into existence like most everything else. No, he was in the dirt, baby, forming you. And I dare say he probably used his own spit to do it. It doesn't say in the scripture, but he formed you out of dust with his hands. Things that I had made in my own, my children, I will kill you for my child. It would take God to keep me from doing that. Because that is mine. That come from my body. That was born out of love between my husband and myself. And I nurtured that child in my body for 9 months. Don't think I'm going to allow you to walk in and do what you want with that child. That is where your Heavenly Father feels. He has that kind of love for you. Don't lose your first love for Him. Spend time with Him. Talk to Him. He desires it. Do you think when you get up on your morning and you get to work and you've not even said a word to Him, do you know how He feels? I know how I feel if my husband left the house and didn't say much to me. I would feel a little wounded, a little unloved. Spend time with Him. Don't lose your first love. The church of Ephesus had lost their first love. And he goes on to say that he's going to remove them out of the way if they don't repent. And then he goes back to something good, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the Lord. There's the Holy Spirit. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Isn't that wonderful? He tells you something bad, but says, you also hate those that do the things that I tell you not to do. The Nicolaitans, they think, were people that were committing adultery and eating food sacrificed to the idols, but yet they thought they could still be Jews or Christians. He says, but if you'll overcome this, you will eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of where I am, the paradise of God. There's the second church. Let's go on to the next church, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Samaria write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulations and your poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blaspheming of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But thou faithful, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches, and he that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. This church is known as the persecuted church. They had works. They had endured tribulation. They have been in the natural poor or had poverty. But really God says you are really rich. So if you will keep my word and be faithful, I will give you the crown of life. I'm reminded when I read that of Revelations 12 and 11, it says, and this is one of my favorite verses, and they overcome him, meaning the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. That's how you overcome the enemy. You put self aside. This church had it all. They had the works. They had experienced tribulation. They had experienced poverty in this world because they didn't hold anything back. He says, the enemy's coming for you. It's only going to be 10 days. If you're faithful to death, this is to death, unto death. And I will give you the crown of life. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 10, and 12, I won't read the whole thing, but blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the first verse. We're going to suffer and endure tribulation. None of us have been jailed for the gospel, although all over the world we do hear that. And many have lost their lives. James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. It goes back to that love thing again, right? How much do you love yourself? How much do you love God? How much is Jesus your Lord? He gave up his life for us. We weren't even worthy of that cause. But God said, I so love the world that I sent my only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We are a church and we will endure persecution. It happens in your life every day. You're excluded. You're looked at differently. People whisper behind you. People at my work know that I don't participate in a certain lifestyle, so they make those plans without me. But I hear the whispers, and that's okay. I don't choose that lifestyle, and they do. That's their choice. I choose to be the light. I choose to be the city set on the hill. There's a separation there. Come out from among them, God said. Be you holy as I am holy. The church was the church that suffered. I'm going to have a few minutes just to do the next church, and if God allows, I'll go through the next ones next Sunday. But at the verse 12, and the angel of the church in Pergamos write, and I'm sure I didn't say that right, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, you know, and that's a reference to the word of God. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hath not denied my faith. Even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give then him a stone, a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receiveth it. There was a false person in there. There was false teaching, and they had the teaching of Balaam. Balaam was supposedly a prophet, and Balak wanted to kill the Israelite army, that people that were out there. He was a Moab king, if I'm not mistaken, and he kept getting Balaam to come and put a curse on him. And God would not allow Balaam to do such a thing. And he was doing it because he wanted the money. But he told him, he says, if you'll get them to sin, it will destroy them. And that's what he did. Balaam did. But I have seeing that you are even in the Satan's seat, but you holdeth fast my name and have not denied the faith, even when they lost one amongst them that was killed. I wonder how many of you all would survive if Pastor lost his life for the kingdom. Is your religion tied to a man or a woman? Do you have that relationship with God to where you could withstand even a loved one being taken? You need to look yourself. This is not hinged on my word or his word or her word. It is hinged on the word of God. Hold fast to the faith. Keep his name pure in your life. And he will see you through. And then when those that come to you to try to get you to lay a stumbling block to sin and to be a stumbling block to others, you will see through that. And God will give you the strength and the power to overcome and endure. But you have a choice in the whole matter. It's your choice Again, we need to understand the doctrine. This is why we have doctrine classes. We have discipleship classes. We want you to understand what the Word of God says, not what I say, not what he says, not what she says. It's what God's Word says. The foundation is the truth. And if we try to build anything other than on the truth of God, it will not stand when tribulation comes. It will not stand. So look at the three churches that we've gone through so far. The compromising church is what this one was called. The persecuted church. And the loveless church. Do we fit into any of those categories in our lives? And if so, God is calling you to repentance, calling you to get it right. He's given you that time, that opportunity, and I pray that you take it. I thank you for being here. Come back next week. We'll talk about the other four, if God so allows me to do. Father, we thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God that is already in this place, Lord. We thank you that with the Spirit of God comes the truth. Comes truth and understanding, and that your words will not come back to you void, Father, that we have that promise. And we pray, Father, Holy Spirit, that you will go ahead and reign in the rest of this time. Let the teachings that go forth from this pulpit today, let it be to equip the saints to go out into this world and to be the men and women of God that we are called to be, soldiers. Soldiers for the army of God. Let the strongholds in our lives be torn down, the chains be broken, so that those around us can see there is hope. There is hope, and his name is Jesus. In your son's precious and holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.